All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I want to just read a couple of verses here. And I'll just go ahead and tell you right now that my text verse is verse 18 of Psalm 119, verse 18. But we will read verse 17 down to verse 24. All right, now if you'll look carefully at this psalm, if you have a study Bible, probably of any kind of study Bible, you will see, like go to Psalm where it says Psalm 119, and then right under that, you'll see what looks like an N. Do you see that? Do you have that in your Bible? All right, now that little N is not an N, it's an A. All right, it's an A in Hebrew. Go down to verse 8, and you'll see right under verse 8 that there is another little character there, and that's called a bet, B-E-T-H. It means the house, all right? Bet. And then the next one is underneath verse 16, and it says gimel, all right? That's the G in the Hebrew language. And it just keeps going like that. Aleph, bet, gimel, dalet, and then he, and then vow, and then zayin, and it just keeps right on going. That's the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm was written acrostically and each using the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And what you have is the first word in each section. When you get to verse 9 in English, it's a W, wherewithal. But in Hebrew, the word starts with a B. All right, it starts with a bet. The first word, blessed, in our language, in English, but the word starts with an aleph, with an A, and every one of these, when you see a new section, that first letter is the letter of the alphabet that is listed over top of it in order. And so this psalm is a little unique just from that standpoint. But it is also really unique from the standpoint that it is the longest chapter. It is the longest of the Psalms, and it's the longest chapter in the Psalms. It is also the longest chapter in all of the Bible. All right, there is not another chapter that is as long as this one is. And the whole reason for the psalm is to give praise to the Lord and thanksgiving to the Lord for His amazing, wonderful word. Now, I think it's rather significant that the longest psalm in the book of Psalms and also the longest chapter in all of the scriptures is a song that praises the very foundation of everything we believe. And that's found, of course, in the Word of God. All right, let's begin in verse 17, and you follow along as I read, paying special attention to verse 18. All right, verse 17 says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. All right, I'll stop reading right there. And I want to have you now focus back on verse 18. And I'm going to speak to you tonight on this subject, open my eyes. Open my eyes. All right, let's pray. And you keep your Bible open and then the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now for your richest blessings to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, we're so thankful that we have a Bible to preach from. We don't have to simply come and listen to my opinion and what I believe, but Father, we can come and open your word and we can preach from your eternal word. And I pray that you will bless tonight as we look at this amazing little verse in this wonderful psalm. And Father, I pray that you will instruct our hearts this evening, and I ask you to fill me with your spirit and help me as I speak. And Father, help our folks as they listen, and bless all those who are watching online with us tonight. And I just pray that you'll give us all a good service. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Our faith is built and established upon one thing, and that one thing is the Word of God. Our Bible is God's Word from beginning to end, and our faith is established and built upon what is in this Bible, and we call this Bible the Word of God. This psalm exalts and praises God's word from every single direction that could be thought of by David. And as he is magnifying throughout the psalm the word of God, he uses 9 different synonyms that to describe and define the Bible. Those are 1, law; 2, testimony; 3, judgments; 4, statutes; 5, words; 6, precepts; 7, commandments; 8, promises; and 9, ways. All right, now look, look please at your Bible. Look at the first, look at verse 17, the first verse in the Gimel section. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy, what? Word. There it is. And he either uses one or sometimes several of these synonyms, and they are, if you'll look to the end of the psalm, you will notice that there is 176 verses in this psalm, and he uses the words law or testimony or judgments or statutes or words or precepts or commandments or promises or ways in every verse except for 2. So in every verse there is one of these synonyms. It is all an exaltation by the psalmist of the word of God. And so all these words that he uses are synonyms to describe the word of God. Now the first 8 of these words that I just gave you are used over 20 times each. And then the ninth one is used four times throughout the psalm. Now, there are so many wonderful little verses in this psalm. Many of our hymns are taken from a little statement or one of the verses that is in this psalm. And there are many things that are in it. But I want us to focus tonight on verse 18, where David says, "Open thou mine eyes." You see, this little verse is really a prayer. It is a prayer from David to the Lord. And he is asking the Lord to open his eyes so he could behold wondrous things out of God's law. This is a prayer, I think, that each and every one of us should pray every single time we sit down to read the Bible. We ought to ask the Lord as we're sitting down with Him and His Word and pray and ask Him to open our eyes so we can behold the wondrous things that are in God's law. So we are asking, when we pray this, we are asking the Lord. Now listen very carefully here. We are asking the Lord to give us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. We're asking the Lord to open our understanding to the things of God. We are asking the Lord for His help and for His blessing. And we ought to pray that every single time we sit down to open the Bible and read it for ourselves, or every time we come to Sunday school and every time we come to church, we ought to pray this little prayer in verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You see, folks, As I am preparing a message, I always ask the Lord to show me the wondrous things that He has in His Word. For it's the Holy Spirit of God who opens our understanding so that we can see all of the wonderful things that are in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. John said in his epistle that there are three that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Now, the Holy Spirit is just as much God as God is God. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Son, the Lord Jesus, is God. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who opens our understanding so that we can see the wondrous things of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that inspired the men who penned God's Word. So what David is doing here with this prayer is he is asking the author of the book to explain to him what is in the book. You know, there is no better person to ask about something that is written than the person who has written it. All right? And so here is David now asking the Lord to give him understanding. He is asking the author of the book. Remember now that all Scripture is given by inspiration. It is all by inspiration. And the Holy Spirit of God spake through the prophets and through the fathers, and has given us God's eternal word. So David simply utters this little prayer, asking the Spirit of God to illuminate his mind and his heart and teach him the wondrous things that are in the Bible. So what is David asking for? Well, here it is, all right? He is asking God for illumination. He is asking God for illumination. There have been many, many times through the years where I have preached a message, and then as we're walking out the door, somebody will say, walk up and say, "Pastor, I could have read that 100 times and never gotten out of it what you got out of that today." And the reason why, folks, is because the Holy Spirit is the author of the book. And the Holy Spirit has called me to be the pastor of the church. And the Holy Spirit knows that when I come in here and have you open up your Bible, it needs to be, there needs to be a message that illuminates your mind, that keeps your focus, that turns you towards the Lord Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the illuminating of his word so that we might behold the wondrous things out of the law. Now, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. There have been so many times through the years where I was in my office preparing a message, and I felt like that I just needed to stop and take off my shoes, because I kind of felt like I was standing on holy ground after what the Lord had just showed me in his word. And I'm telling you, folks, that is illumination. And that is what all of us need to pray and ask the Lord to do for us when we are reading or hearing the Bible. And each and every believer ought to pray this prayer every time you sit down to read the wonderful Word of God. Now, let's notice a couple of things here tonight. First of all, I want you to see the petition for illumination. The petition. David is praying here. This is a prayer. This is a petition that he is bringing before God. And this is such a noble prayer that was made here by David. And there's two things that I want to point out to you which make this so noble in our hearts. First of all, it is the psalmist's genuine interest in the word. You can just see David's genuine interest in the word. You see, there is no way you would ever sit down to pray a prayer like this if you were not serious about learning, knowing, and understanding the Word of God. If you were not serious about knowing the Bible and understanding the Bible, you wouldn't pray this prayer. But David genuinely was interested in knowing the mind of God. And by the way, folks, every time you read this book, you are learning the mind of God. You are starting to think like God thinks. The more you read it, the more like God your mind will be. You say, "Well, I just got saved, and man, I find myself sometimes still having a dirty mind." Well, I know how to wash it clean right here. Get in the Bible and let the Word of God clean your mind and clean out that old sin and all the things that you spend so many years in the world pouring into your mind. So let the Lord have your mind. That's the point. And David loved the word of God, and no wonder he prayed this prayer. And you know, lots of believers, they'll say, you know, Pastor, I just don't really, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. And well, first of all, you probably ought not say that out loud. All right. I wouldn't say it out loud if I were you. But they'll say, well, you know, I just don't understand much of the Bible when I read it. Don't say that, folks. The Bible is written in a on a fourth grade to fifth grade level. Now, it really is. It is written to where a fourth grader or a fifth grader could read it and understand it. Anyone who knows that is liable to start looking at you funny if you claim that you are not as smart as a fourth grader. Amen. So don't tell me you can't understand the Bible. You can. You can. If you're saying you can't, that's an excuse. And you can understand the Bible. Now, if you are newly saved and you turn to the book of Ezekiel and you start reading, then I might understand why you would sit there and scratch your head at Ezekiel. But hey, start in the Gospel of John. Read something simple. Read something that the Holy Spirit of God can open your understanding to. And let the Word of God be in your mind and in your heart. You see, this is why we should pray the prayer of this verse. We all need illuminating. We all need to have the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate our minds so that we can understand the wondrous things and see the wondrous things that God has in His Word. You know, I was thinking about this when David penned this psalm. The only part of the Bible that he had was the law. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's all he had. That's all he had. So it seems like most of us cannot get interested enough in the 66 books of the Bible to get on our knees, though, and pray this prayer that David prayed. But folks, we need to pray this. Why not pray the prayer of this verse and then sit down to read the Gospel of John and let the Holy Spirit allow you to behold wondrous things? Then, secondly, first of all, I told you that I saw the psalmist's genuine interest in the Word. But then, secondly, we see the psalmist's ignorance of the Word. You see, David was admitting the fact that he didn't know all there was to know. He didn't know all of the Word of God. And for David to make a request like this is him confessing his own ignorance of the Word of God and admitting the fact that he needed the author of the book to teach him some things that he had overlooked or missed. Oh my, folks, this is why you can't exhaust the Scriptures. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. And yet it seems that there's a lot of folks who get bogged down in the Word. Don't get bogged down. Pray and the prayer of this verse and allow the Holy Spirit of God to show you the wonderful things of the Word. So, folks, listen, if David confesses his ignorance, how much more should we? I mean, how much more should we? I'm pretty sure that David knew more about the Word, about the law, about the testimonies and the judgments and the statutes and the words and the precepts and the commandments and the promises and about God's ways than your average person. But he still prayed and asked the Lord to open his eyes. David the psalmist, folks, David, the man after God's own heart, humbling himself before the Lord and asking for the Lord to illuminate his mind and his heart so that he could learn even more of the Word of God than what he knew. Man, if he needed it, don't you think we need to do that? I do. You see, this confession of ignorance was humbling, but it was also honoring, for it indicated his great desire to know even more of the Word of God. And Christian, listen, I don't know about you, but I need this prayer in my life. I need to pray this prayer. I need the Holy Spirit of God to open my eyes so that I might be able to behold the wondrous things out of this Bible. Oh, what a tremendous statement David made. Second thing I want you to see, we first noticed the petition for illumination, but now secondly, I want you to notice the place of illumination. You see, the place, the source, if you will, the source for our illumination is found in that little word, thou. Thou. That's where, that's the place of illumination. That ought to be very, very comforting to each and every one of us. You know why? Because this puts all of us at the same level. It puts everybody with the same opportunities on level ground. I am so glad, folks, that you don't have to go to a seminary somewhere and learn Greek or Hebrew or both or Aramaic or Latin just so you can understand the Bible. I mean, doesn't it make sense to you that if man must live by the Word of God, doesn't it make sense to you if we must live by the Word of God that we should be able to understand the Word of God? I mean, I would think so. I would think so. I don't think God, the Lord Jesus would say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I don't think that God, the Lord Jesus would say that, who is God, by the way. I don't think the Lord Jesus would say that and then not have us able to read our Bible and understand it. You say, well, Pastor, there's just things I don't understand. Pray and ask God to open your eyes. Pray and ask the Lord to give you understanding of the Word of God. So, I don't know, this Bible that I have, the one I have up here, is written in English. English. Thank God for that, because that's the only language that I know. And so thank the Lord for it. And listen, I mean, I just happen to speak English as my primary language. Now, granted, I speak hillbilly English, but it's still English. When I was ironing my shirt this morning, Karen, y'all laugh when I say that. I always iron my shirts. Always. I always have. And so while I was ironing my shirt, I was watching NBC Sports, which they were talking about the soccer game that was to come on at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm standing there ironing a shirt, listening to these people from England speak the King's English. And then I walked in the bathroom where Karen was getting ready, and she said that, those people sound like they're speaking a foreign language. It's English, all right? It's the King's English, all right? I speak hillbilly English. There's a difference, all right? And so thank the Lord, though, that English is such a broad language. And I can sit down and open the Bible, read it, and understand it. Understanding the scriptures, folks, is available to anyone who will simply ask the Lord for help with understanding the scriptures. You know, my grandfather could barely read the newspaper. Barely read the newspaper. There were many a time he would be sitting on the couch and would have the Charleston Gazette in his hand. And he would be reading something normally that had to do with sports. But he would say, hey, come here. And I'd walk over and he'd say, what's that paragraph right there saying? What's that saying? And then I would read it and I'd tell him what it was saying. He'd go, oh, okay, thanks. He said, well, that word right there, that's the one that threw me. And I'd look at that word and it wasn't difficult for me. I could read it, but for somebody who did not read, that word was a little difficult. And he would sometimes stumble over really what I thought were simple words. But then he could sit down and read out of his Bible and understand every single word that he read. And I would ask him all the time, how do you do that? You can barely read the newspaper, but yet you can read the Bible. And he always would smile and say, well, I got a little help reading the Bible. I got a little help reading the Bible. And sure enough, he did. And folks, listen, you don't, God has so designed the book that you and I can read it and understand it. And so I say it to you again, you do not have to go to a certain Bible college or to somebody's seminary in order to understand the scriptures. You don't have to learn Greek or Hebrew in order to understand the Bible. No, you simply need to just pray this simple little prayer of verse 18 and then sit down and read your precious Bible and let God Almighty open your understanding. And he'll do it. You know, in fact, some folks with little to no education understand more of the Bible than many of these folks with so many degrees after their name, they look like a thermometer. And that's true, and you know it. I mean, you get these PhDs, and that means posthole digger in some cases, because that's about all they're good for is digging a hole in the ground. And they'll sit down and say, well, you know, I majored in Greek and Hebrew. Yeah, but do you know the Bible? No, I don't believe in this and don't believe in that. Not like you do. Well, that's a shame. You know, I don't want my education to take away my faith. Do you? I don't want my education to take away my faith. And I'm telling you, all of us know of a mother or a father or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, someone in our family who was just the finest Christian that you could know. Now, how did they get there? I'll tell you how they got there. They got there one word at a time. They got there reading this blessed old book and believing it. That's how they got there. What did they do to get to the place where they were such sold out, solid Christians whose faith could never be shaken, whose stand could never be questioned? How did they get there? I'll tell you how they got there. They got there by a personal walk with the Lord and through God's word. Go look at their Bibles. You want to see how they got there? Just go look at their Bibles. And I'll guarantee you that they've got a Bible that is worn out. I'll guarantee you. I'll almost guarantee you, unless they got a new Bible for Christmas or for their birthday, that the Bible that they have, the pages are worn and the leather is worn and the pages are falling out of it. You see, folks, if your Bible is falling apart, chances are your life is not. Amen. You ought to write that down. If your Bible is falling apart, then chances are your life is not falling apart. And you know, it's amazing how the illumination of scriptures does not depend on us at all. David said, "Open thou." You see, it depends on the Lord. Open thou. That's why we ought to pray and say, "Dear Lord, I'm going to pray the prayer of David in Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes. I want to see. Lord, show me." That ought to be our prayer. There's just far too many folks who depend upon other things to illuminate them. Folks, listen, don't depend on coming to church here. You're only here at best 3 hours a week. At best, 3 hours a week. 4 hours if you count Sunday school. And it's not even an hour long anymore. So you can't depend just on what you get here. Now, I promise you that I'm going to do all I can to give you the very best that I can give you every service. But you can't depend on that. You've got to be in your Bible during the week. You've got to be in the Word of God. And so pray and ask the Lord to open the spiritual eyes of your soul and then let Him show you wondrous things out of His Bible. Oh, Christian, ask the Lord each and every time you sit down to read the Bible, every single time you come into church, ask the Lord to illuminate your heart and to help you see the wonderful things of God. Then lastly, we see the purpose for illumination. All right, let's go back to the verse again. Look carefully at verse 18. He says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that I may see wondrous things." You see, folks, the purpose is simple. There is a reason that we should want the Lord to open our eyes. Now, first of all, let's look at what the purpose is not. All right? And the purpose is not so we can learn the Bible just so we can win an argument. All right? That's not the purpose that we ought to pray this prayer. This is what so many of the false cults do. That's what they do. They train their people to argue with everybody. They just, that's the whole purpose for which they have church. That's why they do everything they do, is training their people to take the Bible and twist the scriptures around in an attempt to prove their doctrine, and they teach their followers how to argue and how to win an argument. How to win an argument. And man, that's sad. But that's what they do. I'm talking about the Mormons. I'm talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They teach their people how to win an argument. Also, the purpose for wanting God to illuminate the scriptures should not be to find fault. Oh, you don't want to sit and find fault in the Bible. You know, folks can make Greek words mean just about whatever they want it to mean. You know that's true. They can make a Greek word or a Hebrew word mean whatever they want it to mean. And trust me, folks, a lot of these theological Greek-speak geeks do just that. They do just that. Also, the purpose for illumination should not be the recognition of man. It should not be that you are elevated because of, oh, he knows so much of the Bible. All baloney on all that. I've been on ordination councils and have heard these seasoned veteran pastors get some young man in front of them, and they ask questions that the angel Gabriel is up in heaven scratching his head going, what? What? Seriously, folks. I've heard Glenn Matthews sit there. I've watched his face. I've watched his face. And I could tell when Glenn's about to explode. And I've watched his face. And I have seen as the steam starts to come out of his ears. And then all of a sudden, he'll cut it off. And when Glenn speaks, everybody down in West Virginia pays attention. And I've seen him say, well, I think that's about enough of this. You guys are asking this young man questions that nobody knows the answer to. You don't know it, and you will never know it until you get to heaven, because there is no answer for it. So let's move on. Next question, please. And that's what we do. Nobody's going to argue with Glenn. No, sir. He'll twist you up with words and throw you out on the back porch. You don't mess with that. So it's not so man can be elevated. It's not so man can be held up. No. Can God make a rock bigger than he can throw? Anybody want to tackle that one? You know? How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Now, if any of y'all ever figure the answers to those, let me know, please, because I'd like to know the answer myself. But I'm telling you, folks, the purpose should never be for our own honor or glory. We ought never to have ourselves in mind when we pray, verse 18. Let me remind you of something that should never be overlooked. The psalmist wanted illumination of Genesis through Deuteronomy. All right? Genesis through Deuteronomy. There was no Isaiah. There was no Jeremiah. There was no Hosea. There was no Joel. There was no Malachi. There was not one single book of the Old Testament other than Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So if David wanted illumination for the first five books of the Bible, how much more should we pray for illumination of the four Gospels and of the epistles and of the book of the Revelation? Amen. Lord, illuminate my mind. Illuminate my heart. I'm about to sit down and read the book of Acts. Lord, illuminate my mind. Help me to see this. And Christian, we all know the Bible is the greatest book ever put into the hands of man. Amen. The Word of God's contents reveal to us wonderful things. And now, here is the heart of my message to you tonight. If the Bible, listen to me now, if the Bible is a dark book to you, if you read God's Word and all you see are words on a page, then pray this prayer of verse 18. Pray the prayer that David prayed and let the Holy Spirit of God illuminate your spiritual eyes so you can behold all the wonderful things that God has in this book. Amen. You know, I want you to think of this, and I'll close. I want you to think of this, all right? We just finished a 2-year, almost maybe a little more, 2 years, I don't know how long it was, of a study of all the pictures and types in Genesis. That was just in Genesis. I mean, there's Exodus, and then there's Leviticus, and then there's Numbers, and then there's Deuteronomy. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot more. There's five books of the law, five of them. Think about that. We just looked at one. What was the one thing that we saw, no matter what page of Genesis you were on? What was the one thing we saw? Jesus. Exactly right. That's what David was asking for. Lord, open my eyes. Why? So you can see Jesus. That's why. And if we'll put our eyes on Him, we won't spend all of our time with our eyes on one another. Oh, what a difference that would make. Let's bow for prayer. Oh, thank the Lord for His wonderful Word. Father in heaven, I pray now you'll speak to our hearts. I just want to thank you so much for the Bible and thank you so much for what we can see in this book. And Father, David's simple little prayer here, oh, how simple this was. Open thou mine eyes. And Father, I pray that that will be the prayer of every person in this room tonight. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh my, how we need spiritual eyes to discern your word. So Father, bless what's been said tonight. I pray you'll challenge us. I pray that you will stir us and just help us to realize the importance of daily getting in the word. But Father, help us to pray before we do, and then open our understanding. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.